Hey, Wonderfuls, welcome to episode 433 of the JV Club with my marvelous boy of summer, Gastor Almonte. He is awesome. I had such a blast talking to him. He is a wonderful comedian, and I could not love his origin story about becoming a comedian more, which of course you will hear about on the episode. I hope everyone is doing okay, continuing to have a safe and happy summer. And just a reminder that if you have not checked out Braving the Elements, my podcast with Dante Bosco for Nickelodeon about all things Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra, although we are moving chronologically, so that has not started yet, please check it out. It's so much fun, and it's just been a complete joy. And I hope to see you over there. Whatever that means. I'm not sure how I'm going to know that you're over there, but you know what I mean. All right, enjoy the episode.
I'm an expert on percussion, so, you know, that's what I'm here for.
Hello. Let's get into that. When did this happen? Should I call you Dr. Drums? Dr. Drums? Is that what we're looking at here?
Oh, man. Now, you know, like, weirdly enough, like, I used to do audio engineering, like, right out of high school.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, like, I wanted to, like, be, like, this guy, Duru. There was a famous, like, hip-hop DJ, DJ Clue.
Yeah. I know.
He has so like all of his albums, they're engineered by the same guy, Duro.
Okay.
So I went to like the same school that he did, and I did that right out of high school. Nice. And I got used to like being around like audio equipment. So like to this day, like I do stand up comedy now, but I have like a drum pad that I keep on my writing desk. And it's the only way I write jokes is by like tapping it. So like
really?
I still tap it. Yeah, like whenever I'm
having
brain rust. I have to like tap it out. I just keep sounds loaded on it, and it just helps me like decongest whatever's happening up there.
Yeah. Did you kind of go consciously like, this has proven to be a thing that helps me focus? Or is it so innate like inside of you that you just didn't even like, you realized after the fact like, oh, this is just something I've always done?
Yeah. So the reason I found out is because in our prior apartment, my desk was in the living room. So my wife would be like, yo, you know, I have no problem with you working while we're here, but you got to stop that drum shit, you know? Like, what are you talking about? She's like, whenever you're like really into it and you like space out and start ignoring us, you start tapping out drums. And it's hard to justify, you know, why we have drums playing at 11 at night when you're saying you're writing. And I started making the connection. Like, oh, yeah, I do, like, kind of go nuts over here. And it's a separate hand. It has nothing to do. Like, I write with my right. I tap with the left.
Okay. Tap with the left. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense. So audio engineering is not necessarily tied directly to percussion.
No.
So you started, were you drumming and then that led into audio? Like, drum at all.
Yeah, it's just I'm in the studio with the equipment. Like, at the time, it was like MPCs.
Yeah.
Were big. Now they have like, I bought them. It's called The Machine, but spelt weirdly with like an S. I bought it specifically just because I missed having buttons to press around my computer. So I'd load it up. I don't make music, but I like having it with sounds that remind me of that time. And
that's really cool.
I remember just like it being part of our process. They brainstorm songs, and I'd come up with like things in terms of like, oh, I should probably mix this song this way. And while we were doing that, we'd be tapping like sounds out. It still happens to this day.
Man, I gotta say, that is just another one of those, like, sound engineering, audio mixing, and film editing, any editing process or any, like, fine-tuning process that happens with art, I just admire so much, and I feel like the enthusiasm I have is there for, like, oh, God, it's so great to... Like, I do love when I'm working on something where I've directed it or I've written it or whatever, and I'm sitting with the editor, I get real into you know, the sort of moment of like, ooh, I think we just need like a split second longer because that's comedy, right? You know, you get so into like the rhythm of comedy and or like listening to a beautifully mixed album and being like, oh, man, like somebody had to sit with every single level of every single sound and figure out what that flow was and figure out what that balance was. And I love that. And then I realize, like, I have so little patience. Like, I love sitting in the editing room for like an hour and being like, I think I've really contributed to this 1 minute that we just worked on. Listen, I got a jet. I guess you know my aesthetic now, so I'll just turn the next 48 hours over to you.
You got it from here, right? You good?
I hate it. I hate that. I want to be the one that's like, no, I love sitting here and like cranking it out and like really getting all those nuances because. To me, that's like the most important part. After everything, it's not worth anything if it doesn't have that, you know, that attention to detail.
But I do appreciate the fact that like it reminds me that every like study has someone like that for that thing. You know, so like, you know, when I initially like got into comedy and like I was thinking about specials, like it. More and more I started realizing like I need someone that like really loves sending out emails and you know, like I don't want to do that. I just want to write the joke and I want to work on stage and you know, same with the like when you're doing albums and specials, you need someone that's like just as enthused as I am about finding the perfect story and joke as they are about the perfect audio mix or you know, the video and like making sure that it's colored a certain way. And you know, we'll work on a joke, you know, for hours. I see people that are that nuanced about each of those things, and I find beauty in that, like seeing the person's eyes light up when they're talking about their weird, you know, nuanced craft.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's the other thing, too, is I have that same thing. And so if I'm with a person who loves that, I'm so suggestible because I get so like high off of someone else's enthusiasm about a thing they love that like for that moment, I'm like, this is what I want to do. Also, you sold me. And then I walk away and I'm like, oh, no, that was their enthusiasm, talent and skill. I still don't have that. I like walked out of the room and I did not osmosis everything to where now I'm going to do it. But it's so cool to see someone else in their element, to like experience someone else in their flow is like such a cool, inspiring thing to get a chance to be in on if you do get that chance, you know?
Yeah. I used to deliver potato chips for Frito-Lay. And I remember doing a delivery at like 4 a.m. to Target. And the receiver, you know, the guy that checks in the packages.
Sure.
In like a 10-second motion, he did a spin move, scanned the box for one guy from Entenmann's, signed my package, turned around, waved 3 people in. It was like legitimately beautiful. Athletically, mentally seeing him in the zone. And I told him, I was like, yo, I don't think you understand. Like that was like a Michael Jordan highlight that no one else will appreciate but us.
Yes, yes.
So like I told her, yo, like, you know, when things slow down, take a moment and think about what you did during those 2 seconds.
Aww.
Like that was a mixtape. That should be on YouTube. People should see
that. That's awesome. That's awesome. And then, you know, the fact that you thought to make him aware of that and to like show that appreciation, to me, that's like, again, those are the details of being a human being that, you know, I think in part, like, that's one of the things that's been so hard about the last year and a half is I live for those small moments, you know, as much as like I can be a hermit. It is I'm like too excited when I have like just a fun, quick connection with someone like that, you know, where but I love that you wanted to call it out. Like you're like, no, this needs to be. This was noticed and it needs to be said that it was noticed and you're awesome, you know?
Yeah, because like that tells me like you've put in time into your craft. And while it's not a craft that's normally seen on the scale of like a movie or a television, like you've become a master at this and it should be like praised. And being frank, it makes all of our jobs easier, You know, so 100%. Like I appreciate someone that could do that. And you know, he's gonna go home and no one's gonna know that. So I was like, no, like that was awesome. I still remember his name, Michael Carter. You crushed that thing wherever you are. That's so great. I hope more people talk about it. You should have gotten like an emblem, a banner that day. But
yeah.
It was beautiful.
Man, is that something that you, that's just very positive and very like socially aware and cool of you. Is that something that you feel like you got from somewhere? Like, is your, like, did you have like your mom or like, you know, somebody in your family or like in the neighborhood? Like, was, do you feel like that was instilled in you, or was that sort of just, again, kind of one of those innate things where you're like, I don't know, I've just always kind of like dug people.
So I have siblings, but my first my brother was born right before my senior year of high school. So for the most part, like, you know, I grew up an only child despite having a brother and a sister now. So like, I spent a lot of time like observing. My parents would take me to whether it was family functions or work things. I was constantly in places where I was told, hey, sit down here. You know, like you can't quite take part in this thing. So I feel like I was always in a position where I could look, but not quite be involved. And it really allowed me to like people watch a lot. And
you're a sponge.
Yeah,
like, especially as a kid, you're just like
you're taking it all in. And the one exception I've seen people make to allowing kids be involved when they shouldn't be is when they ask a question about their craft, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I remember going to my dad's like a bodega as like a 7-year-old and seeing the guy that like, you know, made the sandwiches and asking him how the machine worked. And initially he just like went through it quickly. But like, I think like something clicked to him that was like, this is the first guy that's ever asked me how to make a sandwich. And like he really walked me through like seeing the cutter, the adjusting it to see the thickness. And you know, now like I have 3 corner stores. I'm in Brooklyn. I have options, but I go to one guy for my sandwiches because I see that he knows what he's doing. And I remember what Pedro taught me at dad's store.
Yes, indeed.
And you know, I see that this guy puts that level of attention and care. So yeah, like I've come to like watch those things, and and now as a comic, even more so. Like I know that that's where like my material comes from. So I'm always writing down anytime I have like an extreme emotion, whether it's happiness or sadness, from seeing someone do something that I think is ultra human. I want to write those down, capture them, and try to share that with people.
That's so cool. Man, I was going to like make a totally stupid joke. Like, all right, from what I'm hearing from just your accent, from all the talk of bodegas, I'm going to assume you're from Great Plains, Iowa. I don't even know if Great Plains, Iowa is a place. I just try to pick like the most like middle America. Where were you? Where were you? Like, where did you go to school, for example, when you went to the same school as, was it Duru? Did I make that up?
What was that?
What's the engineer's name?
I didn't go to school with, I went to this same engineering school that's after high school.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's a program in New York that used to get advertised a lot in the radios. Institute of Audio Research is like a 6-month audio program. So I went there right after I graduated.
Nice.
But yeah, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I'm from East New York specifically. I went to school mostly in that area until high school.
Yeah. And your dad had a bodega?
Yeah, several.
You're making me miss New York, man. I haven't been there in a minute, obviously, for very clear reasons.
Yeah,
but
no.
I'm supposed to be going back. I'm supposed to be there in October, so.
There you go.
God willing, everybody's going to still be getting on planes and stuff.
So,
like, felt like we were getting there.
So did you leave for like professional reasons? Like what motivated that?
I never lived there. I just, but there's so much work stuff that kept taking me to New York that, you know, I've been there tons and tons of times. The most I've ever stayed there at once, I'm sure, would be like 2 weeks. So I never had a job where, you know, I was like, I got, you know, I had to get an apartment and I was taking the subway every day. But But for somebody who doesn't live in New York, even being there for 2 weeks and working, not just sightseeing, but like actually working on anything,
yeah,
you do feel like you've been there a year. And I know that's hilarious because people who live there are like, oh, honey, you've been there for 2 weeks. But you really get in, like, you're like, okay, this is, because you're like on point. Because, you know, if you live in California, there just isn't a situation in which you need to be on point the way you do, like, navigating Manhattan.
Right.
Specifically. And so it's that thing where time slows down. And so you just sort of feel like, I've always been here.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I take the subway. What do you want? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can walk. Yeah, I know how many blocks it takes to get for walk from blah, 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 blah. Like, your brain just sort of, like you, when you were a kid, like, you have to be a sponge. And so it's all just kind of getting in there.
I just think there's, like, It changes how you view the world how you process things. The reason I bring it up is because it's a constant, like, debate in my house. Like, my wife immigrated here when she was 11. So,
oh, yeah.
She's from Costa Rica. So,
she
loves the New York, and she's about, you know, she's a New Yorker now, essentially. She's been here, you know, 20-something years. But yeah. She dreams of moving somewhere that is, like, tropical and calm and slow. And when we went out to L.A. every time, she's like, oh, this is where we should be, you know? And I just have panic attacks of, like, I can't walk outside and get a sandwich and a Snapple. Like, that's craziness. I got to drive to a store.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, but you'd have a yard to, like, walk around. Like, you don't have any of that here. So I get that beauty of it, but... losing that pacing, I worry that it would change who I am almost. I don't know. Like,
I get it. I totally get it. I mean, I think that's a real, surely you've had friends. Like, I feel like that you've actually articulated it in a way that I don't know if I've heard before, in a very actually, like, kind of great, clean, short way. Whereas I feel like I'm the kind of person who'd be like, here's the thing. It's just that, like, things are so different. It's like, no, you worry that the whole pace and the whole vibe of being so different could change you. And I think that is so, and it works both ways, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's how people worry about that going into the busyness and craziness of New York, as they should worry coming out of it and wondering, like, who's this guy going to be? You know, that's kind of like a joke of, like, people who move from New York to LA is like,
yeah.
I remember I said that in San Francisco. I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, but I had two really close friends who I worked with who were so artistic, and they actually went down from San Francisco to LA to go to fashion design school. But I was like, I remember saying, like, oh, I don't know, I feel like I'm going to see you and you're going to be in, like, cutoffs and flip-flops, you guys. Like, I'm worried. It's going to change who you are. And the first time I went and visited them, they fucking both had on cutoffs and flip-flops.
Yeah, it happens.
And I was like, no!
Yeah.
This is wrong. This is wrong. They're like, chill out. We're designing really cool clothes. Like, take a look, you know? But when you're on the outside of something, especially if there is kind of like a slight, a little bit of dismissiveness sometimes from both San Francisco and from New York about LA, and all of the things that they're dismissive about, like, are valid. But you know what I mean? But that's kind of like, it depends on what you choose to see. And so,
yeah.
Of course, I came down as a San Francisco snob who, like, chose to identify immediately the quote-unquote laziness or, like, the difference, like, oh, you've changed.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I mean, that's a situation in which, like, it made sense for them in that environment because it was a lot hotter than it was in San Francisco, and they're walking less. So, yes, it's true that they're not wearing, you know, their, like, cute little weird shoes and
uh-huh.
their, like, many scarves and stuff, but they absolutely were, like, still organically the same people. But you don't know.
Yeah.
And there's no way that you could stay exactly the same. You're right. It's just it's a whole different vibe.
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, like,
I
do think you're wired to want and need certain things. I also think those needs change. So there might be a time where, you know, you want the go-go of New York. You want the grittiness specifically of Brooklyn, like, feel like you're really a part of the community. Like, you know, you go to the guy for the cart for the coffee. Like, there's a certain energy that instills in a certain way and frame of mind that it kind of, you know, builds you to be in. That's why you notice it when you'll, like, be in New York for 2 to 3 years, and then you like go to Nashville for a week. There is a reason why everyone like sounds different to you. Like, oh, why is everyone saying hi so much? So like it's fine, but in turn, I do think those things change. I thought initially, like, I still would prefer to stay here, but I have to admit that for the first time in my life, I'm open to the idea of going elsewhere. I have kids. I think about, you know, is this ideal for them? By the same token, I have kids. I don't know if I want them to say that they're from, you know, Tallahassee. I like the idea that they say they're from Brooklyn. So yeah, like all those things are things that I weigh, and it lets me know that you have to be kind of like fluid with those needs and be aware to like do a self check. Let yourself know, like, hey, what do I need right now to life and going forward? Am I in a place that's conducive to that? I try to be open-minded to that, and I try to be aware that while she's been here a long time, this isn't her home the same way it is for me. So at some point we might have to do a trade. She's kind of bit the bullet for me here quite some time. I'll figure out how to ship sandwiches across the country.
I was gonna say, listen, you could talk to me, let me do a little poking around. I do feel like I've got a couple of New York friends who live downtown in LA, and they're very content because, you know, they still don't have a yard. But they got some bodegas. You know, they got some like scoot downstairs real quick, and like if this bodega doesn't have it, this one, or this one might have it. Like, there's some of that happening, you know. I've been dipping into like LA history recently, just like 20s, 30s, and 40s. And it's so fascinating how much the downtown area, like the amount of ups and downs that downtown Los Angeles has experienced is insane. Like, you look at pictures from it in the 20s and 30s, and it is like you would think you were downtown New York. It's like bustling, you know, everyone's got somewhere to be, like everything you need is right around there. And then there's like a theater district that is kind of does remind you of like being in, you know, Midtown Manhattan. And then, you know, when I first started coming down here before I moved here, LA was like a ghost town.
Right.
And now it's, you know, it's sort of like maybe in between those two things.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, there's like so many different, and you can do this in New York too, but LA is very much like you can have like 80 different kinds of lives. Like, you can, like, your lifestyle in Venice, California is so different from your lifestyle in Los Feliz, is so different than your lifestyle downtown.
Yeah.
That it's like almost crazy. But one of the things that you said that I love about the New York of I was gonna say of it all, but I just cannot stand when people say that, even though like sometimes it makes sense, like the New York of it all, like that's a time when you should say it. Unfortunately, now sometimes people say like, I gotta go and get the groceries of it all, and you're like, no, that's not, you're not, that's not like a esprit de corps, that's not like a way of being, is not getting the groceries of it all. But that feeling of like having so many different worlds available to you in New York, that in many cases are a subway ride away or a taxi ride away or even a walk away, but that you still crave that community and you still crave habits. That's one of the things I do love about that. And there's a pinch of that in San Francisco, although it's a tiny city. But and you can certainly do that in LA. But that feeling of like, yes, I want to be able to go somewhere and like go to this neighborhood that I've never been to before and try their coffee shop.
Yeah.
But I also love that this person that in my neighborhood knows me by name. I do always get the same thing. Like, those rites and rituals are so important to us when we are living like more unpredictable lives, and even sometimes when we're not. But that feeling of connection is so important, you know. And that's another reason that moving is so hard, I think, is like feeling like you've built something that is meaningful, and that foundation, there's, you know, that's a real thing.
Yeah, I think about that all the time. I know there was and it was valid, right, in the sense that like this past year in particular, a lot of people here, like, you didn't have the outdoor space and the apartments are smaller, so there was a level of like, you know, there's constriction and loss of connection. But, you know, I enjoyed like going to the corner store and just knocking on the door and him knowing my order. Like, I didn't even have to go in. I could wait on the corner, and he prepped everything, and he'd knock on the door when it was ready. I thought that was awesome. Just in general, like, you know, if anyone is on the 7 train in New York, every single stop is a whole other country. So you could do a food tour and not, you know, travel more than a mile. And stuff like that is I've seen LA, I think, does a good job in terms of having incredible food, but it's no way near that close. So like culturally, like, you're able to like experience so much here. And then if you grew up here, you have the added thing of like all my people are here too, so we can experience the world with a Metro card. Are you serious? That's
right,
insane.
Right.
Like, I could learn six languages on one train and get home and still watch the news. Like, that's bananas, you know? So there's those things, like, I genuinely like crave and enjoy and I hope you know, embody. Like, I think it's a part of me, and I try to be like an advocate for how dope the city is. But, you know, I have to acknowledge, every time I've gone to LA, I come back recharged. I feel genuinely better. When I go to Florida, I feel different when I come back to New York, because I had a chance to decompress.
Yes, indeed.
So there's a value to that I think is invaluable. And then I look at my partner, I talk with my wife, and for her, it takes her to another level. I see, like, the way that I feel like I'm a heightened version of myself when I'm in New York, I see that in her, in those places. So I'm trying to figure out a balance of that, because I want her to feel, you know, superhuman every now and then too, you know? So I think people finding those places, they give them that. You know, find it, go there. Like, you know, you'll feel like, you know, super, and you'll do new things that just you didn't think you think or know you were capable of.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Hey folks, it's me, James Arthur M., host of Minority Corner, your home through these wild times for weekly doses of pop culture, history, news, nerdy stuff, and more through a BIPOC, queer, and allied lens. I already took you back in time through One Time Machine. We're going back even further.
Yeah. Oh my god, ooh, here we go. I'm holding on.
I know it seems scary because now we're in the 1830s. I know.
And we hold on. It's
fine. Continuing along on the White People's Apology Tour, Justin Timberlake.
That is Minority Corner. Like,
having those difficult conversations, those necessary conversations.
This is now the moment for white people to be rising up and going, this is our problem.
So join me and some of your new BFFs every Friday here on Maximum Fun to stay informed, empowered, and have some fun. Minority Corner, because together we're the majority.
What was your high school like, and were you getting out? Like,
yeah,
I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but friends of mine who lived in Jersey, were some of them were like, oh yeah, I went over into Manhattan all the time. Like, we would go see, you know, the free show that they would let school kids see. And then other people were like, oh yeah, I never went into New York. like my family just never, we went, you know, it was like, it felt like it was a million miles away, even though it was right across the bridge.
Yeah.
Were you like really experiencing all the boroughs and like this and Manhattan and stuff as a teenager?
Yeah, that was probably the first time I did that. Like, to me, like, if you look at a map of New York, it's incredibly small. But like, because of traffic and trains, it takes us forever to get borough to borough. So like, I'm from Brooklyn. I grew up in Brooklyn, but I got a scholarship. I went into a high school in Queens, which is the very next borough. Driving, it's only half hour away.
Sure.
But it was a whole new world for me. I'd never ever had reasons to go there. I had no family there. And on top of that, you know, we weren't well off, but most of the kids in the school were. So there
was it like a magnet program or like
it was a prep school, St. Francis Prep. So, you know, like Vince Lombardi went there. Joe Torre, like, I think he's like the one of the like higher ups in Major League Baseball. So they have like a lot of like celebs that have gone there. But yeah, like it was the first time I became aware of money. And the things that you can do are different. The things that people wanted to do for fun were different, including going to the city. Like, up until junior high school, the city was, we go there because there's a court thing, or mom's boss from the head office called them. And we, right. you know, like it was a serious occasion. Or like once a year we do like a touristy thing, since my parents were immigrants. So like they wanted to like do New York stuff. So like we'd go to like the Empire State Building, you know. So like to me, the city was that. It wasn't a place that you went to chill, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, like being around these kids, they would be like, yo, let's just go to 40 Deuce and hang out. And I was like, for what? Like, we don't have money like that to splurge. It's not, you know, New Year's. Like, why are we there? Yeah. You know, I thought it closed as far as I was concerned. Like, I didn't know what happened there the rest of the year. Right. So, yeah, I have to, like, give full credit to that. Like, going to that school kind of made me aware of the possibilities of what's out there when you explore. As silly as it sounds, of calling exploring going a whole borough away, like I think it's like 2 miles, but
I don't know though. I mean, I fully embrace that express. I mean, yeah, that to me is absolutely the right word. It's absolutely the right word.
Okay, so I feel less self-conscious about it. Thank you, Janet.
Yeah, how dare you? Now you should feel self-conscious about feeling self-conscious. That's, now I'm really, now I'm just like beating you up for even being thoughtful about it. What took you to that school, and how was it, other than like just meeting kind of new folks who were opening your eyes to other stuff or what have you?
Yeah, it sounds silly, but like a couple things. One, I was in like this... like elite junior high school was like 40 like 8 kids amongst all 3 classes, and they had a connection. They were like a magnet to that prep school, if you will. So when I got in, it was a cool opportunity. And when I went to the school, it was the first time that I was in a social setting that had white people, and I wanted to be around that. I felt like this is different from my world, and the things that my parents wanted from me, like go to college and become business, when I pictured that in my head, it was like, oh, I have to be around white people. I should get familiar and like know how they do stuff. I didn't know if it was different or the same, but I knew that I didn't grow up around them. And the only ones that I saw were like teachers, you know? So, that was a big part of it. I just wanted to get to know this other community that, when I thought about adulthood and the jobs that I was being pushed towards, they would be there. And then, you know, like everything that TV told me was awesome about high school, my high schools in my neighborhood didn't have, and this one did. You know, like I pictured like Bayside High and like kids with matching uniforms. They had that. Yeah. They was crazy. I was like, I saw the Letterman jackets. You know, like they had auditorium, they had pep rallies, you know, like all that stuff that like, you know, I knew wasn't in the budget at Franklin K. Lane in Brooklyn, but St. Francis Prep had all of that. So, you know.
Don't you know that people with money are the only ones who deserve to have that?
Apparently. I mean, go figure.
Don't you know that education is just a privilege of the very rich? Like, I'm sorry, you don't deserve to have a great education with tons of resources if you don't come from money. I don't know. What's wrong with
silly
you?
Silly me. Silly me.
Oh, we laugh because it's very infuriating.
But yeah, like it was that. Like, I just wanted to, like, be around that and... it was also one of the first times that I noticed my father having a sense of pride that he was doing something for me. You know, they provided for me, but it was the first time I made that connection of like, if I go to a public school in my neighborhood, even though I did the work to get into the school and he can afford it, me not taking this is like almost a weird slap in their face. So it was like all of those things kind of like made me say I should, you know, kind of gamble on this here.
Sure. For context too, I should ask what your neighborhood was primarily consisted of ethnically.
Yeah, East New York, Brooklyn is primarily like Black and Latino, in particular Dominican and Puerto Ricans. It's an awesome neighborhood.
Is that where your parents immigrated from?
They came from the Dominican Republic, both of them. My dad came over for high school, went back and met and married my mom. And they came over here and I was in the sauce here ever since, you know? Here we are.
Awesome. Did you have, this is like, you could tell me if this is like a super lame question, but did you have friends that you met at the prep school who were equally interested in your environment, who were like, yo, I want to see where you grew up. Like, I want to experience your neighborhood. Like, I didn't get any of that. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely had people that, would come over, for, you know, like just out of curiosity. Like, I think at that age, you're curious to explore. And, there was definitely a level of like, also like there was Eastern New York in particular at that time had a reputation of being very dangerous in New York. And, yeah. There was a level of that of like, I ain't scared of it. Or Gasser went there, we'd go there and wanted to check it out. And also just like, there's nuance to like, as silly as it sounds, the corner store experience. Like, the corner store in Whitestone, Queens is not the corner store in my neighborhood. So
100%.
Yeah. So like, you know, getting a bacon, egg and cheese in my corner store is a very different experience. And they wanted that. They wanted to see what that was like. In particular, cause at that time, like, you know, hip hop was huge. So like, the rappers are from my part of New York, right?
Right.
Being around that, like, meant something to a lot of my friends, and they got to see some of that. And, you know, I in turn was, you know, seeing their world and seeing how different that was. Like, oh, your house has two floors. That's crazy. You know, so you go upstairs for bed, you know, stuff like that. Like, I never got the intention of like malice or disrespect, thankfully, from my friends that would come with me. But I feel like they learned about like a new culture, whether it was specifically East New York, but also just like being around Latinos, being around Black people to that extent. And then, you know, I in turn, you know, got to see what's possible if you continue to build on what your parents built on when they immigrated here. Like, oh, like they have this kind of house, I could buy that kind of house if I, you know, continue to work the way my parents worked, because I'm starting from where they're at. Like things like that, I thought were important for my development. And I hope that my friends kind of got a little bit of like appreciation for what they have in terms of like, oh, like this kid, we go to school together, but for him to get here was a little bit different.
Yeah. God, I remember I'm from Tucson, Arizona, and the first, like, going to anyone's house who had a second story was, like, the most exotic. Like, it was like, what is happening? Like, it was just so, it was so unusual. And there are certainly, like, plenty of second story houses. It's like, you live in a desert. If you're smart, you learn to build on the ground. Like, it gets real hot if you go up one story.
Yeah.
Like, that's physics. Turns out heat rises. And so even friends of mine who had bigger houses than my tiny places were still, it would be more like a little bit of a sprawl. And so it really felt like, it was like, oh, I'm sorry, am I in the UK? Like, oh, there's a second story to your home. You have a basement? What's a basement? Like, it was so... it's so funny how like those environments, all the things that feel so exotic to one person are just like, of course there's a basement. We live in tornado country. Like, where do you go when there's a tornado warning? You're like, tornado warning? What's that?
Yeah, I love that stuff. Because my first thought, I still remember going upstairs in my boy Rob's house, and my first thought was like, yo, we're not going to bother whoever lives up here. Like, because that's the only reason you would go upstairs in my apartment.
Yeah,
another apartment. It's another tenant.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love those type of discoveries. I thought it was dope. And I'm sure they had them too, and they just didn't tell me per se all that. But it, in particular, when you're like 14 and... you know, you're trying to play off like you know everything. So, like, you're experiencing all that in your head, but you're not sharing that thought. I wasn't telling them that I hadn't seen second floor houses, you know? I was just like, oh, that's cool, you know? But in my head, this is fantastic. You have an incredible level of privacy here. Like, they had carpeting on the floor, which has done the full, like, spectrum of when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is cool. It's soft on your feet. And now, like, people rip it out because they want the wood floor again. So, like, that's gone the full spectrum of fancy to ugly again. But yeah, like it was the first time I saw a rug, like carpeting on the floor, like throughout like the bedrooms and stuff like that. Like I came home and like asked questions to my parents. I was like, yo, y'all seen this? You know, like it's, they, I don't know if y'all know this is possible, but you could just put saw stuff on the floor. Like, you know, you don't need socks. You could just walk around in these. It's great.
When did you start getting interested in doing comedy? Like, when did you go, wait a minute, I want to do this in front of people. I don't want to just do this around my friends, or I don't want to just have these thoughts inside my head.
Yeah, I got promoted when I was a sales manager at PepsiCo, Frito-Lay. I got promoted to that role after like literally selling chips off of the truck. Like I got nervous because, you know, like when you sell, you know, when you're a sales rep, you're on the truck, you're dealing directly with like a bodega owner, supermarket owner. It's one-on-one interactions, and they're usually blue-collar people as well. So like you could talk regular, you know, and then I get this new title and they're like, hey, you're going to have to do, you know, presentations on occasion to like a district manager of like 10 CVSs or something. And you're going to need PowerPoint. So I was like, I'm going to have to be in front of people in certain tie. So I looked up articles on how to do that better. And I found an article in Inc. magazine about like a bunch of CEOs that took stand-up classes to get better at presenting.
Okay.
And that's the only reason I got into it. I took the
class. Oh, my God. What a great story.
Yeah. So I took the class, and 7 weeks later, I graduated, and here I am.
What were the other people like? I mean, were you, was that something where you were interacting with other people? Was it online? Like, was it, I mean, were you, because it's hard to imagine, it never occurred to me that that would be something that would bring out, like, it turns out that is what I am. I'm not a CEO who just wants to be funnier in front of, you know, people I'm working with. Did you feel like you were around other people who were like, wait a minute, like this is awesome, like maybe I want this?
I took the class with I convinced my cousin, because it still sounded weird to me, I convinced him to take the class with me, and it was a bunch of people besides us two, it was a bunch of people that like clearly wanted to be on stages, whether it was stand-ups or actors. And I def didn't have that intention, but I also, you know, not to be cocky, I def noticed I was better than them. But again, I was like, this is great. I get to just sell more chips. You know, it's fantastic. You know, so I took the class, and the graduating show was at Gotham Comedy Club. They have like a main level where the professionals perform, and they have a room downstairs called the lounge room where you like you practice, you do open mics. So we're doing that show down there, and comics from the main room would just hang out before their show. So I do my set, and this comic comes up to me and says, yo, that was amazing. How long you been doing stand-up for? I'm like, 7 weeks. And he's like, what? So, you know, he chops it up with me a little bit. And, you know, afterward, he meets me outside when we're like, you know, celebrating the success of the day, me and my cousin and our fam. And he's like, yo, like, I don't know what you do for a living, but you need to be doing this. And I was like, are you sure? Because I make really good money selling chips. He's like, nah, this is your calling. He's really successful today, but at the time he was like a grinding comic. Roy Wood Jr., who's from The Daily Show. He was there. He was still successful then, but he wasn't famous. He was he had just booked Sullivan and Son. So he was there promoting the show.
I did an episode of Sullivan and Son, so I was around those guys.
There you go. So like he was just starting to like crack. Like like if you look him up now, he's got like 200-300 followers, almost 200-300,000 followers on like every social media. Like at the time he had like 7,000. Like they were like all like people from like I would assume like Alabama, where he did like the awesome radio show he did. But this guy took the time to like talk to me for a half hour when he should have been doing something else, just because he saw something. And you know, I'm forever grateful to the guy, except for those first 2 years where I made very little money. since then, I genuinely...
He should have been like, listen, I'm going to buy a lot of chips from you for the first couple of years. This is on me. I got to take care of business. Like, I got to take care of you. I'm going to buy a lot of chips.
he's more than made up for it. He's constantly available for advice. He's gotten like so cool. Really.
Do you have a mentor? Is that what I'm hearing?
I would call it that.
Yeah. I never had a mentor. Oh.
We're gonna find you one, okay? It's never too late to get one.
It's never too late. No. It's never too late. Even if my mentor is 1 year older than me, it's never too late. It's never too late. Or in some cases, possibly younger.
Yeah, why not?
There are definitely people who are accomplishing things that I'm like, how'd you do that? That's cool. I can't be afraid to go backwards on the age scale.
Doesn't
can't
hurt.
Be afraid.
They still know they know what they know what they know.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
The Beef and Dairy Network is a multi-award-winning comedy podcast here on Maximum Fun, and I would recommend you listen to it. But don't just take it from me. What do the listeners have to say?
Would I recommend Beef and Dairy Network podcasts? No, I don't think I would.
Right, let me be very clear about this. Under no circumstances would I recommend this to anyone I've ever met.
No, absolutely not. No, I couldn't.
I feel quite sick thinking about the things I've heard.
Please stop calling me. Please leave me alone.
That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, available at MaximumFun.org and at all good and some bad podcast platforms.
Literally, just leave me alone.
I got to get into this MASH game with you. Do you know we're doing this? I don't know if you've ever heard my podcast.
Let's do it up. Yeah, I actually,
at the end,
I heard Brandon Collins episode. I actually just like
nice.
Raved to him about it on Twitter. I was like, I really loved how it came off.
He's great. I'm so lucky to do this. Like, it sounds dumb because it's not like something that, you know, I'm not like, and then I retired off my podcast money. Like, I never, you know, but it's just, this is, you know. You get it. You're a people person. You're interested in people. That's why you're so, one of the things that makes you so good at it, I think, is, you know, just being interested in other people and being interested in the way people's brains work and like where they come from and what they've learned and all that stuff. I feel like I'm eating, but that's not true because you've made me crave a deli sandwich so bad in this conversation that I cannot say that I will be, that's not sustenance in the same way, but it is definitely sustenance, you know, but I got to get a breakfast sandwich. I mean, it is never the wrong time of day for a breakfast sandwich as far as I'm concerned. And
that is almost verbatim the life lesson I gave my daughter yesterday.
Yeah, this is how I know you're a good dad. These are the important things. You get around all that other stuff. You got to get the important, again, that foundation. You got to build that foundation. Amazing. Okay, for our first category, I'm going into the food. That's my favorite. Let's get into some food right away.
Let's do
three things that you wish you could have all the time, whenever you wanted. Not just this, but whenever you wanted, you could have this. And there's zero ramifications. There's not too much sugar. There's not too much fat. It's not too rare. It's not too expensive. It's not too, you know, it could be a thing that you had once far away that you're like, oh, if I could just like pop that into my hand whenever I wanted it, that'd be amazing.
Okay.
Three things.
One of them is technically no longer available. There's a pizzeria by me, Katerina's Pizza. They're mm-hmm. still open, but Vito, who was the original owner, retired during the quarantine about like 4 or 5 months ago. He owned it for like 40 years. So a slice from Vito, specifically from Katerina's Pizza, that's definitely
great.
Number one. Number two and three are two sandwiches from competing delis across the street from each other. In Queens. So I got to go Cherry Valley. I want to go with the Beast. It is
great.
A great sandwich. And across the street, I'm going to go with Christina's Deli. I got to go with their sandwich, the Heart Attack.
Oh my God. I love the names. Because it really could mean anything.
They live up to their names. I will say that.
Oh,
they're fantastic. Great. Both are chicken great. Cutlet base, but a lot happens after that.
Yeah. It's a journey. It's a journey.
You're a different person after you've had either one, for sure.
Oh, God.
But you're happy.
Damn. This is, guy really, nothing that I eat after this is going to suffice. Everything I eat, I'm going to be like, ho-hum. All right, next category. Let's do three. Okay, so let's give your, this is going to be a gift to your wife. So there's a door in your place where you live now that magically opens to another place. So you don't have to get on a plane. You're basically just like, it's not even that you're teleporting. Somehow we've just like bent time and space so that this door opens and you're in Costa Rica, or this door opens and you're in any, so three places anywhere in the world that you, this magical door opens into from your apartment.
Ooh. Oh, yes. I gotta go with the missus here. I would have to go with Costa Rica. I think that would make her extremely happy to be able to go back home, tropical, avoid that like 8-9 hour flight. Yep. And also a chance for my kids to see the other Latino portion of their culture. They get to see a lot of Dominican stuff here. Not a big Costa Rican contingency here in New York. It's a bit far. So that's def number one. Number two, I'm a comedian. I love New York, but I got to take L.A. Like, you know, just a beautiful place and business purposes. It saves me stuff, you know, so I'm not mad at that. Number three, I mentioned it earlier, I think. I think it surprises people, but I'm going to go with Nashville, Tennessee. But specifically, can I add this qualifier? Please. Nashville during Country Music Award Week.
Okay,
great. I want to be there during that time. I had a like time of my life there. I showed up unintentionally during that week for like work related training. Didn't know it was Country Music Awards week because I don't follow that. And I walked around their town and was constantly being pulled into parties at their bars. I didn't know that bars there functioned that way, where like the people in the bar were also outside of the bar. And they would find people on the sidewalk and bring them in. And they enjoyed that I sounded like this. It was different. So,
Yeah,
I had a blast there. I was the center of attention at like 15 different parties over 3 days.
That's so funny.
I would love to go
back.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, country music.
I love Nashville. Yeah, I was only there for a few days. But that's another place where, you know, you're in one neighborhood. Like, you wouldn't necessarily know it, but you're in one neighborhood and then you cross over a couple of blocks and you're in a totally, totally different neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I think people think of Nashville as just like one thing, and it's so many things. It's so many things.
Yeah.
Not the least of which is like it has a rock and country music and bar scene. And like there's one publicist that somehow I met through something, and she started pitching me these like up and coming country musicians that are either alt country or just straight up country, or like folk, like Dolly Parton, like, you know, legacy singers. And I'm not a huge country music fan either, but every time I meet one of these girls, I'm like, for the podcast, I'm like, you are wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, you're such a deep thinker. You're so talented. You started so young, and it was your passion. It was coming from the heart. And like, it's just I'm like such a fan. I'm such a fan of Nashville and everything about it. Now.
I'm with it. Like I what I enjoy about it is like country music was really dope. Is like I know they have a lot of nuance and culture to the music in terms of like this history. It's incredibly like beautiful and complicated if you want to make it yourself. But by the same token, you could pull a random person in and just tell them do what feels natural. And they'll have a good time. Like, there's no, like, you don't have to learn weird steps. You could show up to the party. It's your first time hearing the songs. And whatever your body feels, it's probably right.
Yeah.
Like, it'll feel good at the party. I think that's awesome. So they got that figured out.
That's great. That's awesome. All right. I love these three. All right. Next one, let's do three movies that you can jump into and just walk around in and be in that world with those characters. You're not really living the plot. You're just like, that gets me into that world. So it could be totally fantastical, or it could be like the Brooklyn of X movie, you know?
Okay. Definitely first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I would love to be like in that world under New York. I love the abandoned train station aspect, all of that. Yeah, I'm with that.
Yeah, you would.
So definitely that.
Great.
Let me see. Number two, I want to go with the original Space Jam. I like the idea of being there. I want to see how the cartoons, you know, mingle with me. You know, I was a little torn between that and Dick Tracy. Similar kind of feel, but the other way, I feel like.
Yeah.
Number three. I'm going to go with The Godfather.
Yeah.
I feel like
Good choice.
Yeah, I think I could have elevated in that world. I'd be a valuable member of the organization, you know?
Oh, here we
go.
Yeah,
you know?
You're getting made. Yeah. You're getting made.
I want to be there. I look good in suits, too. You know, I could do all of this. Yeah. Why not?
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. I love it. All right. Next category. Let's do three musicians from any era that we're going to give you this alternate universe opportunity to collaborate with on some level, whether you're producing their album or you're making music with them or whatever it is, writing with them, anything. Three.
Yeah. Biggie Smalls.
Right.
Sade.
Great.
And Jimi Hendrix.
Great.
Yeah, we could do separate. We could work on everything together. I don't care. That's all going to sound good. Doesn't matter.
Great. I love it. And I think those are strong choices. Fantastic. All right. Next category, let's do, I mean, all due respect to your wonderful wife. This is MASH. I give you the opportunity to give some, maybe some crushes.
Okay.
Could be just characters from things. Could be from a book, comic book. I don't care. Three, this is like romance and sexy times. I'm not saying you got to get married to this person. This is just an alternate universe situation that we're talking about here.
Okay, okay. So number one, also from Space Jam, Babs Bunny.
Great.
Yeah, I like a woman that, you know, could compete, you know. I don't, you know,
yep.
want a physical and intellectual equal. She's that, you know.
Great.
So yeah, I'm a fan of that. Let me see here. Number two, I don't think she gets enough respect in the Saved by the Bell world, but Lisa Turtle, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I like the style icon. She was the first one I saw to show like true personality. Everyone else was wearing, you know, the Bayside colors. She said, no, I'm going to bring my own clothes, bedazzle the jean jackets. So, yeah, I'm going to go with her. That's number two.
Great.
Number three, huh? Who am I going to go with here? This is, I'm gonna go with Laura from Family Matters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Again, another, like, strong-willed woman.
Yeah.
Knows what she wants out of life, went out and got it, graduated, success. I like that.
Yeah. Family Matters is a great show.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Next category, let's do three powers, three superpowers. You could use them whenever you want. You could choose to use it only once. If you want to stop time one time, that's up to you. You want to be invisible every day? That's also up to you. Three superpowers.
Okay. Time travel.
Great.
I'm going to go with flying.
Great.
I like that one. And... oh, man, it's a tough one. It's down to one. Yeah.
I know. The third one's always the hardest.
So if people in this world know about X-Men, so if that's the case, then I'm going to go with whatever Gambit's power is, where, like, he could charge cards and stuff and throw them.
Great.
Just because I think that'd be, like, cool at bars. I like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, y'all, look at this.
Keep it simple. Yeah. Some simple party tricks.
That's it.
It's cool.
You know? It's an icebreaker. It's cool. That's all it is.
That's right. That's
I'm still ethically
the
good person.
I said you could use it however you wanted. That's right. You could use it however you wanted. All right. Let's do three just real life skills, like, you know, fixing stuff or writing code or, I don't know. Like, for some reason, those are the only two things I can ever think of as an example. Like, really? Get it? How about just, like... gardening, cooking.
Mine's a real. I own my house and they come up all the time. So I want to fix the boiler. I would love to know how to change the oil in my car. I overspend on that on a regular basis, and I do feel like I get judged by the mechanic. So yeah, I don't know where any of that stuff is in my car. So yeah. Those two for sure. Number three. I'm supposed to know it as, like, I feel like as a guy and head of household, it's expected, but I don't know how to barbecue. I want to barbecue.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We got to get that taken.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Great. Okay. Beautiful. All right. And then last category. See, this is like my version of the third thing on every list. I'm like, oh, the last category. I got to make it so good. What it's going to be? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Let's do time travel.
Okay.
Where would you, if you want to be able to time travel, give me three places. They can be real specific, like a real specific event in the past, or it could just be like an era. What three?
The day that they took down Ebbets Field. I'd like to be there to commemorate that. Like, it was a big moment in Brooklyn history. You know, so if I could, like, you know, be there to honor that moment, I think it'd be dope.
Nice.
Two, let me see here. I want to be back at my high school in 2001. Was it 2000, I think it was, when the Yankees and the Mets were playing each other in the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it was the most split I've ever seen a school, because it was in Queens,
yeah,
the neighborhood Ooh. Next to Shea Stadium. So, like, they're huge Mets fans, but it's also the alma mater of Joe Torre, the manager of the Yankees.
Oh, no.
So it was a lot of fun. Like, the news cameras was there. So, yeah, that World Series. I like that. And number three, I want to go with the day that I drove my wife to the hospital for what we thought was the birth of my daughter, but it was actually Braxton Hicks. Like, she didn't have it.
Uh-huh. Yep, yep.
Because we got stuck in the snow, and it was like 4 a.m, and I was like a block away from the hospital, and I found another pregnant lady getting into her car going to work, but she was less further along. I showed her my situation, and she got in her car and pushed my car forward. So wherever that lady is, I'd love to, like, be there ahead of time with, like, a cup of coffee for her or something.
Yeah. God, that's a great story.
Yeah, I don't know where she is, but I'm super thankful. I want to get the story out there. She's somewhere in Brooklyn by, like, the hospital on 7th. But yeah, I was a block off. The car stopped a block away, died in the snow, and she was like going to work. She was like 4 months along. So I like told her my situation. She's like, "Oh, we're expecting too." And she got in her car and pushed mine forward.
Oh my God.
So yeah, thank you.
What a New York story.
Yeah.
Like, it just is, that's just great. That's just great. Okay, great. All right. Give me just one word to describe how you feel about, like, this upcoming weekend.
Ooh, okay. I am very, very excited. Seems easy though, but yeah, I am excited. I'm
great.
Yeah, my homegirl Melanie.
It's not a test. This is great.
Yeah. I have, like, friends.
Because you could have been like,
ho
hum. You could have been like, this weekend, honestly, Janet, every day is like the next because we're still living in COVID. So I must say, meh, M-E-H, is that good? Like, excited's great. Excited's great. That's how I'm going to get us to where we find out which category, you know, what thing you get per category.
Oh, dope.
So while I do that, will you please tell people where they can find you, what they need to be checking out? I guarantee you there will be people who are like, I got to get more of this man in my life right now. Now! So you're going to help them out with that. All right, here I go. It's all you.
Perfect. So my name is Gastro Almonte. You can find me on all social medias at Gastro Almonte, GASTORALMONTE. I have an independently produced special called Immigrant Made. It's a comedy special literally showing the story of my family's life, grandfather, dad, and me, and how they immigrated here.
So
if you have an Amazon Prime membership, it's available for free to check. And finally, I do a weekly podcast with my homegirl, Shalewa Sharp. It's called The War Report, where we just talk about the news and, you know, make jokes and have a good time. Check it out.
Awesome. 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 This is what editing is for, my friend. No blank spaces unless we want them. I mean, you're the one who picked a 7-letter word, so this is on you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Please.
I genuinely
am, though. Genuinely, like, thanks a lot.
I'm hyped, though. Like, where my homegirl Melanie, her husband is like throwing her like a surprise party tomorrow for her birthday. And like,
nice.
And like, she's my oldest friend. Like, I've known her since I was 11. So
Yeah,
like, I'm excited. We've barely seen each other since the quarantine. So yeah, it's a good time. So I'm hyped. We're going to hang out tomorrow.
Oh, that's great. That's great. All right. I got our results. I'm feeling very good about it. The only thing I'm not feeling good about, I'll be honest with you, is I got real excited about you meeting that lady again who pushed your car forward. But the universe dictated, it's not my decision. The powers that be decided instead to toss you back to 2000 when you get to see that rivalry happening between Yankees and Mets fans.
Okay, I'm with that.
that's historical. I mean, that's also great. It's also great. So you got that. I want to congratulate you on your beautiful apartment in Nashville.
Okay. I'm with that.
You got a beautiful place in Nashville. This is the place that the door opens to your apartment in Nashville.
Okay.
So you like go from one room in your apartment here or your house there, and then you go in and there you are in Nashville.
I love that.
And then you go outside and like you got the whole city out in front of you. So not only do you have a door that goes there, but you have a place to be while you're there.
Beautiful.
That belongs
love
to
that.
You. Love that. You also can jump into whenever you so feel like it, Space Jam.
Okay.
To just get
Let's
up
Let's do it.
There.
Unlimited vertical.
Absolutely. Now, you didn't end up with Babs, but as far as I'm concerned, you did, because you still get to go into Space Jam whenever you
there
want.
You go.
And you get big shout out to Ms. Bedazzle Jacket herself, Lisa.
There we go.
Lisa Turtles in your life.
That's it.
Hot stuff. But here's what I'm a little bit worried about, and I'll just be honest about it. I'm concerned that she's going to be jealous of your collaboration with Sade.
What?
Because that is a beautiful woman.
But it's about her, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be about Lisa. She's going to be okay with it, you know?
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. Yes. You and Sade are going to be like, this is for you.
Exactly.
Baby.
Yeah. No, she's going to be good.
Got it. Well, you really had that answer.
I'm ready.
You are taking care of business.
You think I'm married 12 years by accident, Janet?
What?
Come on.
I like your mind. I like the way your mind works. I am also excited to tell you that, listen, if something goes wrong with that boiler, don't forget about it. Yes. Don't even have to worry about it, because you're going to be like, this, done.
I've been calling Dad all these years. I'm
I would glad. Say if you could fix it, it's probably never going to break again, because you're going to fix it so good. All it takes is that one perfect fix. Also, very popular in the bar scene with your
yes!
Gambit level
trick. Yes! I tell you, the first two, I know they're better, but I was so rooting for that. That's so great. We throwing stuff, watching them explode.
You got that going on. And finally, this sounds like a very, very busy life you're going to be doing. It sounds very cool. It does sound like you are going to want to be able to, at the snap of your fingers, whether you're in Nashville, whether you're inside Space Jam, wherever you are, you have access to nonstop Vito-level slices.
Woo.
From Katarina's Pizza.
Okay.
Shout out to Vito.
Let's do it. I know yeah. Lisa's with me, but that my actual wife would be jealous of that. That is incredible.
Yeah
we miss that place very much. So, but I'm glad I'm living that life. Vito slices are amazing.
It's not a bad one.
That's beautiful.
It's not a bad one. This has been so much fun. I'm so, so glad that we got introduced. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me, Janet. Sincerely, I had a blast.
Do you want to, I don't know, I can't remember if I put Brandon through this or not, but back in the day when I very first started doing this podcast in the summer, my friend Steve Agee said you should call it Boys of Summer.
Yeah.
And I said, what, like that Don Henley song? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, then I'm going to make people try to sing that song. And then I came to find out that many of us don't know that song at all. So then it kind of expanded out into like somebody could totally make it up, like they don't have any idea what it is, but they do it. Somebody could sing part of it, or someone could like give a little snippet, like a little rendition of like one of their favorite summer songs.
Okay. Yeah, I def don't know the song, but I'm okay trying to make one up. It's cool. We could do it. Let's see here.
What's a little piece of your Boys of Summer song?
Yeah, so my Boys of Summer song. Okay. You seen them on the corner. They hang out on the stoop. They drink Arizona. They looking at you. It's the Boys of Summer. It's the Boys of Summer.
Boys of Summer.
It's the Boys of Summer.
Boys of Summer.
Talk to one before he talks to you.
Oh.
I'm with it. Let's go.
It ended with something so ambiguous. Is that a threat? Is it like, you better talk to him before he talks to you? Or is it like, you're going to be so glad you did because you're going to be so glad you know this guy? I love it.
There.
I like a little mystery. Okay. Oh, my God. All right. I will talk to everyone else on the podcast next week. Thank you, my new friend. This has been a blast.
Real pleasure, Janet.
The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing
say hi.
Hey, remember when we could save kittens from trees or lunch on skyscrapers? Bring the villains to their knees. Maybe we should.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.